You're listening to Madiba's Radio.
Opula pule Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
Otecha deza Madiba Radio.
Omametse Madiba's Radio.
Akalise na Madiba's Radio.
Lalele I Madiba's Radio.
Lalele Madiba's Radio.
Niko checheredza Madiba's Radio.
Otecha Madiba's Radio.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio, opening up the waves for you to be heard.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Madiba's Radio podcast, because listen, we connect, inform, and engage. And my name is Gloga Talondlovu. I like to call myself the brightest star on the airwaves. Once you know the clicks is on your airwaves, nothing will ever be the same. And this is actually a special episode because we have a special guest from the Transformation Office, because something is brewing on Friday. Something is cooking on Friday, and I'm so excited for it because it's going to be big. It's going to be iconic. It's going to be amazing. Here with me in studio, I have the one and only, a representative from the Transformation Office, Vuyo. How are you doing today?
Hi, Gligo. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing amazing.
Yeah.
Are you excited to be here? Because listen, something is brewing on Friday, and it's fun. It's about to be a five. So for the listeners who don't know, this upcoming Friday, we have a Pride event here on NMU. We have a Pride afternoon and chill event. But can you tell us more about that? Because it sounds so exciting. It's like, ooh, we're chilling, but we're also celebrating Pride because October is African Pride Month.
Yes. Thank you for that, Gligo. As you said, my name is Vuyo from the Transformation Office. And one of the things that we do, yes, in the Transformation Office, we do Pride related work, sensitization trainings for staff and students as well, and the community at large around Ekabeha. So this coming Friday, as you indicated, is the 3rd of October, right? So on the 3rd of October, October is South African Pride Month, and as NMU, as a Transformation Office, this is what we do annually, is to celebrate Pride in different ways. So we're starting out with a bang this Friday.
Hey.
People want to hang out and chill. We're calling it Pride Hangout and Chill. So I'm tempted to say, bring your fleece, bring your camp chair, you know,
and just have a great vibe. And I feel like, because I was curious to see, it's like a hangout and chill, because usually when people associate Pride, they think we're going to have to march and we're going to be a flag hoisting and everything. So what truly inspired this hangout and chill?
So we wanted to do something different. Mm. As you're saying, over the past years, I think from 2019, we started doing Pride March, Pride Parade. We would march from North Campus. That was the first time in 2019, October, to South Campus. That's when we hoisted the LGBTQI+ flag for the first time. And 2020, it was COVID, but we still hoisted the flag still. 2021 again, 2022 and 2023, we were back on the streets again to actually march and say, listen, we are here. Nothing's going to stop us, not even COVID. And 2024, we actually, we didn't march last year. We just had a flag hoisting and then we came down at the crowd. So this year we wanted to do something with a bit of vibe. And it's also inspired by the different generations that we have now on campus. I mean, I understand I am the Biko generation. You know, but we must also try to accommodate everyone that says, okay, you know what? How about we chill? We don't have to always take to the streets. We can always find a way to bring, you know, those who want to ukukweja, to sing. We are still going to have the flag hoisting later on the day on Friday, but mainly it's about entertainment. It's about music. We'll try to feed to everything that everyone wants, which includes the partying, the hangout, the getting to know each other, the exchanging of numbers. You know, so that's the whole vibe. And also mainly, just to answer your question now, it's about creating community. If you see now on campus, we see a lot of queer people, but we just like in silos, you know, operating in silos. Now it's just about getting to know each other, and creating good vibes, good community, so that going into next year, we'll start again on a good bang. And this is not something that should only start in October. Mm. This is something that we usually do as from the beginning of the year. So now we're just here to say, okay, cool. You also, Gligo, you know what? How about we hang out? And that's a place to hang out on Friday.
Definitely so. And I love the way you mentioned how, like, although like there's so many queer individuals on campus and around Gqeberha, but it's like, the fact that we live in silo and like we don't really know each other considering how the city is small, it's kind of like, like we need to come back into community and know each other and know that, listen, we're all in this together, as they say in High School Musical, you know? So it's quite interesting, and it's quite how, like, over the years, it's we've had, like, the flag hoistings and the marches, and now this year we're doing something different with the whole, you know, afternoon chilled vibes, the music. It's so wholesome, and I love it because it combines so many different things together where it's like we're chilling, we're having a good time with music, we're getting to know each other. It's a wholesome vibe. It's really a wholesome vibe, and I feel like I love how you also said that, like, we need this throughout the year. It's not just in October or in June where people associate those 2 months as Pride Month. It's like, Pride Month can be any month.
Yeah.
You know, it can be all year round.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's very interesting. But I want to ask, what does Pride mean to you? When you think of Pride, especially as a South African and here in NMU, what does Pride mean to you?
Yeah, so thank you for that question. I think when I think about Pride, I'm a trans man.
Yeah.
Right? And coming into my transitioning, medically transitioning and becoming myself, it meant not doing that alone. Community. I needed community. And if you're looking now in South Africa, you know, as people who are as a trans man who's medically transitioning, there was the cut of EE funds from USAID earlier this year. That meant that the closure of trans clinics. So if we're coming to think about Pride as a South African, just like in the Eastern Cape, we're still struggling to get hormones as trans people. But what does that mean? Now we're coming to Pride. Are we not going to be able to celebrate Pride? It means that as South African, let's look at not only just hosting parties and, you know, that's okay also to party and have fun. But let's look at the core issues that are facing our community. It means that I am not, there's no urgency for me as a queer and as a trans person in South Africa, because still I'm still struggling to get hormones. And also, it also means that I am not safe. If you remember Imam Mohsin Hendricks, the openly gay imam in South Africa, in the world, was gunned down at the beginning of the year here in Gqeberha. So it also means we're not safe, right? That's our reality. But those are the things we need to constantly check into each other in terms of, like, protect, making sure that we are safe, right? Our government should actually prioritize these cases, all of these hate crime cases, right? People need to be held accountable for actually putting queer lives in danger, or like, or even killing people just because they are who they are and they love who they love, right? So our government needs to really act upon that and giving us justice. So for me as a South African, it just means, what's next? You know, it's not one of those joyful prides anymore. I'm like really thinking what's going to be the next thing. If it's not hate crime, it's excess of hormones, it's people not being accepted for who they are, people being insulted for who they are. But what does Pride mean to me now as a member of NMU community? As I said, Pride means community to me. It means, I don't know, like ever since like coming to, there's a different vibe or a different feeling I get when I'm with my community, because I know here I don't have to be discriminated. Here I belong. Here I find siblings, and here I found love. No one is going to judge me. No one is going to question me. No one is going to, you know, I can feel at home when I'm with the community. And that's why for me, Pride is about community. It's about family. It's about, you know what, I'm rejected at home for being queer or being trans, but when I come to the Pride support group or when I come to the Pride community, I know that this is where I find family. This is where I find myself. This is where I can be authentically me. Right. So it's about finding self, becoming me, and becoming a best version of myself, and finding community. So yeah, that's what Pride means to me.
Oh, what a beautiful answer.
Thank you.
Because I really love how you highlighted that. Although, yes, it's celebratory, there's also that aspect of, listen, we're in danger, and there's so many issues that are still occurring across our country. Because although, yes, when it comes to LGBTQ+ laws, South Africa really has one of the best in the world, there's still so much that can be done. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's not safe.
Yeah.
And I feel like you still experience stuff such as hate crime and discrimination, even though it's 2025, doesn't make sense, it's the reality and we can't really ignore it. Yeah. And it's very interesting to kind of highlight that both and not just live in like, we're celebrating, it's cool, which is all great and all. It's all great and all. We love that. But also, if we're feeling a bit shaky on the outside, what must happen, you know? So it is quite interesting. So you also mentioned how when it's like in NNU specifically, like building community and really feeling safe within the queer community here as well. And because I also know that there is a queer support group as well that has meetings weekly or bi-weekly, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, weekly.
Weekly.
Yeah.
And just such organizations and such moments really foster that. Mm. So I want to ask, like, what have you learned from the queer community here in NMU? Is it, would you say there's that sense of community, or would you say it's something that still needs to be worked on?
I honestly think we can always work on building the relationship, but over the years it's you know, sometimes you don't just have, I would say it's more like a relationship, so it's like a talking stage.
it's building.
We are building. Yeah, let this man cook. We are cooking.
Let's see what's going on.
Yeah. You know, it has been growing over the years. I do think that. And remember, this is an institution of higher learning. So at times, like right now, if you go to a residence, people are busy with tests and stuff. So we must also be mindful of when to do gatherings, when to call for people, because I might not be able to come to the gathering because I have a test tonight or tomorrow. So those are the things that also can affect or impact the consistency, right, in creating community. So I do think it's something that we are working on, both from a staff and student perspective, that it's there, but it's just like it needs both of us, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like Leandro, it's not you, it's me, you know, type of thing. But it needs both of us, you know, everyone actually, to just like make time and prioritize creating or coming into those spaces. But it also means let's create spaces where academics are not compromised as well, because the main cause of why you are here is because academics. Yes, to get a degree and to cross that stage. So it's just making sure that you cross that stage authentically as who you are. So I think we are building. Yeah, we are building something.
You know, it's cooking, especially because a university environment is like an environment where a lot of queer individuals, we get to kind of discover ourselves and really feel that, listen, I can be who I am. And that sort of freedom is really a beautiful thing, and it should always be fostered. If it's not fostered, then what's going on? But, you know, also there's also other circumstances that may dictate certain other things. So there's also that. But I want to get back into the event, because listen, I'm excited. Because I also noticed that there's going to be musical performances, there's going to be refreshments. It's literally going to be a whole vibe. So could you tell us more about the creative aspect of things in terms of like who's performing? What exactly is that going on?
Yeah, so we have a performing artist. I wouldn't even call it a lineup. Not yet. You know, we've got Dela Productions, Upumela from Dela Productions. They will be performing. And we've got Michael Matebe. Michael is, Pumela is a student here.
Yeah.
And the production also is a group of students from the university. Post-grad, some of them. So, but also, Michael is not a student here. He's from Kabeja, Elokshini. But also, that is why we also want to integrate Abahlali, the people, the community, and the students. Because there's this thing that we always say, university is a microcosm of society. So we cannot operate on our own. When we're celebrating Pride, we are celebrating in community or in collaboration with the community. The community must know that at NMU, Kukoni Pride, the community must actually come and perform and do things with us. You know, we're not doing it on ourselves. So there's that, but we are opening it up to the audience as well. If you've got poems that you would like to perform, poetry, music, items, we are inviting especially queer artists and allies as well. So we're not just calling queer artists allies. If you're an ally for the queer community, please do come through and also share with us your talent, actually.
Definitely. I love how it's also open to allies, because the allies are important. We need their support too.
Yeah,
the allies. We love the allies. But like with the whole like thing, I love how it's also like anybody can come and perform and really showcase their craft and creativity, because that's something within the community that's very important. Creativity, expression, and just the appreciation of the arts. And also in terms of the flag hoisting, I feel like that's something that happens every year. It's basically compulsory at this point.
Yeah.
Listen, when you buy Mbezweni, you'll see and it's going to be there up real high and it's going to be amazing. But would you say there's like a significance in the flag hoisting, where the fact that it's always compulsory, it means something rather than just, oh, it's just there, you know? Yeah.
I do think it's important for visibility. Visibility is very much important. I mean, if you walk into a space and you see a pride flag, it sees to me as a queer person like, flip, I am seen here. Like, I am recognized here, right? I can say my pronouns are he, him, because this represents me, right? I am seen, I'm heard. But it also means, I think from my perspective, it also means there's more to be done, right? For visibility, 100%, it's important. But also, it says that we must do more in terms of no one in the residences must be discriminated because they are gay. And if you look now, off campus, on campus, those things are happening. So the hoisting of the flag must reflect also our stay in residences, that as a queer person at Mandela, I do feel safe to stay at an off-campus residence and to share a roommate with a straight person. Because most of the time, the straight people, they're like, I don't want to share a room with Vuyo because bazongo sulela ngoba gay, how?
Yeah, like, it's just like Ivo. Like.
You know, so we want to coexist. We want to create a culture where people understand, they're educated that, you know what, we're both human beings. You know, we are both human beings. Sharing a space with a queer person doesn't make you gay.
Like, the fact that that narrative still exists in 2025 doesn't even make sense. Like, come on now. Like, come on. Like,
you know, and it goes back to, yes, we must host the flag, but education must also happen on the ground, because those stereotypes still are there in residences, in the classrooms, everywhere, actually. So even in Orlando, when people play, they're like, I saw a movie. What do you mean? Why is it? Why does it have a negative connotation? Why is it something that you can use to tarnish someone? Don't turn into this, you know. It's something that we should be actually embracing. We should be embracing ourselves, right? So this is a time for us to reflect how far we have come and how much work needs to be done as the queers at NMU. And we would really love for people to come through on Friday so that we can be able to say, to know what's happening, because we're not able to get to every res. So if we come together and people are like, listen, this is what is happening in my residence, this is what is happening in my classroom, this is what is happening at the food trucks, this is what is happening, we can be able to address those issues. So it's more than just the flag. It's about the lives of queer students in every residence, in every classroom.
Definitely. And I do feel like at the end of the day, it is about the lived experience, as you stated, like, because we as like students, we need to feel safe. We need to feel like, you know, we belong.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, the flag like brings so much belonging and we feel like safe, but it also means that like at the end of the day, like more can be done, as you said. And I really appreciate how the Transformation Office really goes out of the way to educate many people about, you know, queer issues and maybe some misunderstandings that some people may not know, considering that at the end of the day, and as much as there is like hate crime and discrimination, there's also that aspect of not being educated.
Yeah.
In a sense of like, we all come from different backgrounds. Maybe some people came from a background where they didn't really encounter a lot of queer individuals or not really equipped to know that, hey, like this is, for example, you should use the correct pronouns.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do A, B, C, D, or E. So I feel like such education really promotes, not even promotes, but it makes such an impact. And I feel like it's so important. And as you stated of how through this event, we're also kind of like having this conversation of like, if you are experiencing any problems and anything that's like, this is happening, as you stated, come forward. Let's actually have the conversation and help, because in the day, we just want to be free and safe, you know?
And you want to complete that degree. And you know what? If we look at stats of queer people who drop out of universities because of the discrimination, and this is why we're saying queer people constantly negotiate their existence, eras, which bathroom they need to go to, which pronouns to use, which names to use, because they'll be the lecturers will use their dead names. Student cards will not represent them well. And that is then the disadvantage that we have over, I would say, cis heterosexual people, like I would say straight people in inverted commas, because they don't have to worry about going to the bathroom. They already know, like, I'm just going to the bathroom. And as a queer or gender non-conforming person, you're just like, oh my God, it's that time of the day where I don't know where to go. Or if I go to the girls' bathroom, I'm uncomfortable. Men's bathroom, I'm questioned. So there's a lot of factors that may make queer people to drop out of universities. And so that's why we don't want that to happen, right? It must not be that you're dropping out because you feel discriminated based on your sexual orientation or gender identity. We are here to help you get that degree and not just, you know, being like depressed because the university was not conducive space. You must actually get that degree flying that pride flag very much high and say, I existed, I was able to be myself. And as you say, we're coming from spaces and homes where we can't be ourselves. I always say the university is a space of becoming. So this could be where you actually became who you are. I would like to also make an example. When I came to NMU in 2019, I was identifying as a lesbian, right? And I did not have a problem with that then. And it was also a stage of questioning my own gender identity. It happened through my stay at NMU. It happened through me being here, and becoming trans happened here. So it's a space of becoming, right?
Yeah.
If you never had the privilege or the space or the freedom, not privilege, the freedom to be who you are, as Laline in the location, this is a space to wear that bum short, to wear that crop top, to wear that dress, you know, just to be who you are, you know. So it's really just a space to say, let's just not focus on the academics only, but let's not also focus on you. You know, take care of yourself. It's okay to be gay. It's okay to be queer. Go out there and be as gay as you want.
Period. I love that. Go out there and be as gay or lesbian, whatever you want. I feel like, for me, that's the motto of the day. Motto of the year, motto of the century. Yeah. But on a more serious note, you mentioned how, like, NMU, it's like, as you said, you know, we, in varsity spaces, we want belonging. We want to feel safe to explore and express ourselves. So considering that you're working with a transformation office that is under the university, would you say the university as a whole, well, this might be a controversial question. Yeah, I was going to ask, like, would you say NMU as an entity is working with the LGBT community or against? Or it's like they're trying, but they could do more?
You don't want me to get my contract renewed, I see.
maybe let's just, you know, we'll skip over that.
I do think there are strides that are being made, but I do think we could actually do more. As I say, for me, it's about the lives of queer people. If we can really bring another queer student here and tell us about your experience, we could hear like horrific and horrible things. And this is why we're saying there is a policy to deal with discrimination. But also, if we don't see cases of discrimination, it doesn't mean that they're not happening. It's just they're underreported or they're not reported, right? So we're here to encourage people to say, please speak out, please come to our office, please report those cases so that we can know what is happening on the ground. We can actually tailor our advocacy to suit actually what is happening in your residence, right? So there are strides that are being made, but I do think that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And it does not only need NMU as an entity, it needs NMU, the staff members, the students, the community as a Qabeqa. It needs everyone to be involved. So it just doesn't need few hands. Everyone, queer students, allies, those who are not allies, because that's where the problem is. Sometimes we preach to the converted, if I may put it that way. We preach to the people who are respecting our pronouns, and the people who do not respect our pronouns are sitting outside having ingodi while we're having these conversations. So it's important that everyone joins the conversation, even if it makes them uncomfortable. Let's have the uncomfortable conversations, because that's where the crust of the matter is, where it makes other people uncomfortable. Let's have those conversations. Let's not have dialogues or trainings and other people are sitting outside and we are talking to each other to say, oh yeah, I respect your pronouns, they, them, or he, him, or she, her, you know. And the people who don't even want to hear about that are sitting outside. Let all be in the same room to actually start those conversations.
And those conversations do need to happen because at the end of the day, as you state, yes, we can converse amongst each other and be like, yeah, you know, we respect everything. Mm. But it's like the real problem is the non-allies, as you said, where it's like they'll, not to put blame, but, you know, the reality is on that aspect of things, that's where the problem is.
Yeah.
And it's something that does need to be addressed because then it creates this divide that's like where it's like, for example, the queer community and the allies versus the against/conservative/ you know? And it's like, with that conflict, we get to a point where it's like, how do we progress? How do we kind of get to a place where now all we want is equality and to be seen and heard and not be oppressed, you know? Like, yeah. So it's a very important, and it's very important indeed that it's out. It's outside of NUMU, it's everywhere that you need to have this conversation. Because, you know, NUMU is a small place, but I guess you got to start small and then build and build and build. And I do feel like it also goes into how, for example, not to say that, I would say the outside world, I feel like a lot of people have this misinterpretation of, like, the queer community. Because, you know, for example, I see on Facebook and, you know, Madiba's Confessions and social media, it's like, there's this narrative where it's like, have you ever seen where it's like they represent, well, not they portray the queer community in a way that's very like, it's either, you know, they're loud in your face or it's over-sexualized or it's just like what's going on? Because at the end of the day, we're all multifaceted humans. So I feel like that sort of representation doesn't really... Not to say it's bad, but I feel like when it's done to an extreme, it can now stray away from the conversations that need to be had. Instead of having the conversation of like, oh, you know, why are the queers always, you know, over-sexualized? Mm. No, it's like, rather than like, but how can we be seen as human beings? Mm. So in your like personal opinion, have you ever seen that? Like, especially like within NMU, within life in general?
I think within life in general, there's also this comment that always people like to say that, especially for gay, feminine, feminine gay men, they would actually say, you are too loud, you want to be a girl, like you're doing too much, even girls don't wear like that, even girls don't scream like that, they don't laugh like that. But that's the thing, it's about who you are. If they're allowed, they're allowed. And like, that's okay.
What's wrong with that?
You're not going to tone down yourself just because you want to fit into this societal expectations. Mm. And I think we should actually not perceive queerness as copy and paste, because it goes down to that thing of like, oh, but Vuyo, you are too loud, because I know another queer person, Ciko. Ciko is not too loud like you. I am not Ciko. Ciko is not me. So let's not copy and paste, you know, people. So it's just about respecting each and everyone for who they are. If they are allowed, then that's who they are, right? And you cannot ask them to tone it down or to do it differently, because how else are they going to be? Like, I always say, there's these people that say, there was a talk that I once attended where people like, okay, you can be gay outside, but don't be gay in the room, like when you're sharing a room with somebody. And I'm just like, when I wake up, when I open my eyes, they're very gay. Like, I'm very queer. When I open my eyes, I'm already queer. Like,
so
there's no point in my life where I'm not. When I'm walking into Mbizweni, when I'm in the lift, when I'm there by Ndiyothengwa Magwinya, I'm queer. There's no point in my life where I can say, okay, let me switch off. When? And what do I switch off in me that can then be... I don't know.
Socially acceptable.
You know. Hmm. So we cannot ask people to not be themselves. We cannot ask people to not be loud, to not be flamboyant, to not, you know, to not wear that crop top, to not be too much. If too much is them, then that's them. And if that's your too much, you know, your too much cannot be someone else's too much as well. Hmm. You know, my too much could be this T-shirt that is like, just on like, but someone else's too much can be a vest and say that it's too much, but you know, it varies. But also at the same time, I hear you when it comes to like over-sexualizing, because for most part of it, people just think that queer people, they see queerness as sex objects. Like all they see is who you sleep with, how do you have sex. They don't see queer people as human beings, right? That exist outside of, like, sex is an activity, guys.
Like, it's not the people, it's not everything in life. So the fact that that gets like so emphasized and focused, it's like, come on now.
There's more to me than like how, and it's also intrusive. Like, don't ask me those details.
Yeah,
it's very much intrusive. So it's also like a matter of understanding that queer people are human beings, right? Outside of it all, I'm a human being. If you want to know something about me, ask me about Uvuyo, and, you know, ask me about what I like, what I do. You'll find that there's interesting people that things that people do, you know, just don't minimize their whole being to just an activity that they do for what, 1 minute or 2 seconds, what noodles, what
for that short amount of time.
For that short amount of time.
Yeah. It's actually crazy when you think about like Vele Vele, like whole identity and whole people who are multifaceted are just over 2 minute activity.
Yes.
Like how? Like, come on.
And then you're missing a whole point of knowing the person. You know, you're missing a whole point of knowing the person. So that's the whole point of like getting to like, we must understand that I'm a human being. We all human beings. That's the whole, that's actually a point of advocacy, that we are all human beings. Actually, when we want to talk about relationships, we can talk about relationships, but get umjolo, guys, whether straight or white.
Hey!
So long as you are.
So it's always very why. So it's regardless of which way.
It's very makumba.
We are crying, it's going down. Yeah, no, hey, I'm jealous sometimes. But, and it also, as you're saying, it's not the be all end all.
Yeah, there's more, like, if a person, a queer person is single, can we actually see that? And see them for who they are? And if there's asexual people who have less or no sexual attraction, so if they don't have sexual attraction, are they not queer because now there's no sex involved? And there are people who are celibate and don't, you know, they decide, you know, are they not going to have a sex? Are they, you know, are we going to say they're not queer, or who are abstaining from sex? You know, are we going to say that's not queer enough? Because we understand queerness as like, oh, all over, like every time, you know. So we must understand that there are asexual people who have little or no sexual desire, and they're still as queer, who are celibate as well, who are not having or engaging in any sexual activity, and that they are still queer, and who are abstaining from sex, and they are still queer as well. So, you know, queerness is not just a sexual activity.
Definitely, and it's not, because, yeah, that stereotype.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything, because what?
Yeah, but also there is also the issue of MSMs, men who have sex with men, because that's also like, that's different from being gay. Being a gay man means you are a man that is sexually attracted, emotionally attracted to other men. For MSMs, they are just here for the sexual activity, I call my feelings.
Hey,
which is, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Because I also have like seen a lot, especially on like my social media, where it's like there's this debate with the MSMs where it's like how they kind of, it's an attempt to kind of try to distance themselves from the queer community, where it's like, you know, because I've seen, like, for example, TikTok being on some, like, calling the MSM, like, culture out, being on some, it's kind of like, how do I word this? But more so saying that you want to engage in queer communities but not have the identity and the notion, you know, around it. And it's like, it's an interesting thing to see. And especially because a lot with that type of culture, sometimes people have also said that it also comes with a little bit of like femme phobia. And also when you go deeper, misogyny and everything. So I feel like such issues also like are complex and also exist and also need to be talked about as well.
Yeah.
And even as you said, with asexuals, and also like, because I feel like a lot of the queer community think that it's only gay, lesbian, transgender, that. And there's so many identities that don't get represented. Many people don't understand what it means to be asexual, aromantic, or demisexual, or pansexual. People even be asking bisexuals weird questions. And it's like, you can still see that there's a lot of education that still needs to happen. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the whole conversation on, I think it's also, for me, it goes to self-determination approach. If a person says, I'm MSM and that's it, I'm not gay, we give them the platform and the space to be. So if a person says, oh, okay, cool, I am what, gay, and you see them tomorrow with a girl or whatever, that's how they choose to identify is how what we should respect. And I know these are conversations that dig deep in our spaces in terms of, do we understand what MSMs are and their thinking, you know, their perspective, you know, and that self-determination approach for me is like a simple approach to things, you know, just if they identify as MSM, who are you to say not?
True.
Because you have your own identity, and maybe we should just look at ourselves. Like, the only thing I know about the world is me. You know, I'm a trans man, and yeah, figuring out my own sexuality. So that's all. If anyone else comes, I can't dispute what they feel, what they like, and who they are. And we should always just give people the respect that they need on that aspect. So yeah, it's just about respecting each other, but allowing those conversations to happen is what I like, so that our minds can, because Sifunda every day, we learn every day, you know, queerness is very fluid also.
Yeah.
So once you meet, like I said, once you meet one MSM, can't have the same expectations on another person who's also MSM. It's about understanding how they experience themselves being MSM. And that is also important, you see.
And it is important, and just the overall conversation around respect and learning, and just really, because, you know, as you said, at the end of the day, we can only experience this world and our reality from our perspective.
Yes.
And I feel like it's always important to open up our perspective and be like, listen, maybe some people may not understand my perspective, but that doesn't mean that A, my perspective is superior, and B, other people's perspectives is trash.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like to truly enjoy living as a human being, we need to be able to kind of understand all perspectives and see validity and see how we can all grow as individuals. So I feel like that's very beautiful. But of course, to close things off, Friday is going to be an amazing event. And not only is this like after Friday ice chai, no, that's not what's happening. That's not what's happening. So in a mini question, before we get to the final question, is there any other plans happening during October this Pride Month?
Yeah, of course, because there's more. So I did mention about the issue of gender-affirming healthcare for trans people. And also remember, there's also trans students who are here, trans women and trans men. So they were not also able to get EMA hormones after VetsRHI closed down. So now we came to a conclusion to have a dialogue with the doctors and the medical school. Prof. DeFries, Prof. Elmer DeFries, who's part of the medical school, is going to be there, and Dr. Mueller from the Gender Affirming Healthcare Mobile Clinic, Yasemond, Island, and they already have a mobile clinic. They're already a bit ahead of us. And also a psychologist and a master's candidate, Usiyanda Mhlom, who's going to be talking about their experience as well. So that is going to be an interesting dialogue that's going to be happening at Ocean Sciences. So closer to the time, we will share the poster on your socials as well. There is also more. We want to do res to res, we call it film screening. So it's res to res cinema. So where we showcase, one of the things that we want to showcase is Inxeba, just to bring back that, you know,
that conversation.
That conversation, you know, because there's a lot of controversy regarding culture, ulwaluko, and queerness. Like, you can't be indoda and queer. You can't be Xhosa and queer. You can't be Zulu and queer. You can't be Sotho and queer. You can't be Ndebele and queer. You can't be colored and queer. There's a lot. Like, people, just culture and religion, just it just limits you, you know. So we want to bring back those conversations, coma res to res, and where we can actually have a film screening or just a dialogue, and then have people say what they view. And it's a safe space, guys. Even if you say the most problematic thing, that's why we are there too. Then if you must have a different view of what you believed when you came in. Mm. So we are saying, even if you think the worst things, come to the space so that we can teach each other the right things. So Kuma Res to Res, we also want to encourage people to say, if we say PSA Okanye Kings, like in your residence, if you want us to come, come to us, and then we can arrange with your res manager, Neprim or whoever, and then we can be in that space. But it's the dialogue that will be about hormones, and then we're going to do res to res queer cinema.
It's so exciting, actually.
Yeah, we also wanted to have a hike, but we'll keep that. We'll keep that.
We'll keep it in the.
Yeah, I see you already dressed up for like what?
You know, like, come on, like, you know, interviews looking. I mean, a hike would also be nice. So.
Just bring your water
and just have a good time.
Techies and have a good time, you know. So yeah, we'll see how that goes through the planning and the enthusiasm after Friday. If people are like, sure, bring the hike, of course we will bring the hike. But definitely the things on the 16th of October is the gender affirming healthcare, the state of the of gender affirming healthcare in the Eastern Cape with the doctors. And it's nice because we have a medical school in Nelson Mandela University.
Exactly. So it just connects.
It just connects, you know. Let's make a plan. Let's do a plan, you know. But also, if we want to have more, if people want to have more things in their residences, we are open. We are willing to come and fly our flags there and educate people throughout. Even if it's just a small group, it doesn't have to be 150 like students. Even if it's just 10 of you guys, you want to do something, like invite us, we'll come through.
I love that. Invite us, we'll come through. Yeah, because that's what it means. We love the what you call it, the pioneership.
Yes.
Yes, we love that spirit because gotta come through, gotta come through. Yes. So as a closing message, if you could, in like considering everything, this event and what Transformation Office stands for and what Pride in South Africa in 2025 stands for, if you could all sum it up in one word in your opinion, what would it be?
Authentic.
Ooh, I love that. Authentic. Because authenticity is the best thing.
I don't imagine myself being able to live like wake up from my house and come here and pretend to be something that I can't, guys. I would die. I would die. Like, I want to be authentic. I want to come here and be a trans person. I want to be as I want to be authentic every day, every single minute of it. You know, so we should actually in this Pride Month and beyond Pride Month allow people to be themselves and not be like, Chomi, don't wear bum shorts. You are too gay, gengogo. Let Chomi be authentic.
Literally.
You know.
Bum shorts are comfortable. Like, you know, so.
I think now I might keep making reference to them because ngathi ngiyazibawela.
It's a vibe. It's a vibe. But of course, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been such a lovely conversation and very insightful as well. I feel like this is so important, and not only just for Friday's event, but just to facilitate more conversations like this is so important. And I hope, of course, wherever you're listening from, whether you're listening from a lecture hall, your res, or you can be in a shuttle. Hey, maybe you're at somebody's house. Who knows? Who knows? We live crazy lives out there. I hope you did enjoy this episode because it's been a very amazing conversation. Of course, Madiba's Radio worldwide, international, we're everywhere. So follow us on all social media platforms. Instagram, X, Facebook. You can even find us on LinkedIn. As I always say, who knows? Maybe you can get a job here. You know, maybe next time. You can also be here. We can spill some tea together. But of course, my name is Tloke Talentlove. You can follow me on not all social media platforms. You can follow me on Instagram at ketela.tligo and on Facebook at Tligo K in Tlovu. And of course, where can they find you?
I am only on Instagram and Facebook. They can also follow my organization. It's called Trans Conversations of Vuyolo Kuzazi on Facebook. But on Instagram, I'm Vuyolo Tungofe, or just Facebook, Vuyolo Ngofe.
Hey, of course, icon, billboard making. But of course, it's been an amazing episode. Thank you so much. And once again, next time, same place, same time. Bye.
Bye.
the best youth station in the Bay.
Madiba's Radio.